Kick off football season with Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. All season long, Bet Rivers is your go-to sportsbook for all football-related content. Check out BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app for the latest odds, unique promotions, player props, and more. Every week, Bet Rivers has unique football specials to help you win big. Cheer on your favorite teams or back your favorite players with Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game. Presented by Rivers Casino Pittsburgh. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Breakfast Benz podcast today, focusing on Steelers and Patriots. Tim Benz here with you on Trib Live. Glad that you're with us. Ken Laird joining us right now. Everybody at Trib Live remembers Ken. He is the founding father of what Trib Live Radio was and now turned into the podcast page. The Grand Czar at WEEI Radio, where I also used to work. Ken and I used to work together there for a short time as we're flip-flopping back and forth between Boston and Pittsburgh. Ken, good to catch up with you again. Feels like old times here.
Yeah, always great to be with you. There's still a Tim Benz shrine here at WEEI, so it's full circle, my friend.
Where is it exactly? Which part of the men's room is it in?
It's right under Lou Maloney's desk. He's got a nice little... All his former co-hosts are right here.
Oh, wow, I didn't know you had that much room under his desk.
There we go. That's good. We need a little bad blood this week.
That's right. Yeah, we got to get some because I don't know if it exists as much here. I mean, like, people here are just right now, Ken, so caught up in the TJ Watt thing. They're so caught up in the new quarterback thing. Brady isn't there anymore. People aren't giving the Patriots a lot of respect for being that much of a threat in the AFC. They just beat the Bengals, who everybody had a bee in their bonnet about for the entire offseason. I've never felt this lack of buzz for a Patriots-Steelers game, honestly, since Heinz Field opened up, really, since that first AFC Championship game in what was Heinz Field. This is the quietest Patriots week I can think of.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We just got the ratings in for the Patriots Week 1 game up here, and it was down from years past. I think it was down from like a 31 to a 21.
Wow.
So Patriots buzz is way down. And in a way, they're two franchises that are kind of in the same spot, right? I mean, maybe the Patriots are 1 year advanced. They have the quarterback in year two. Trubisky's there, I understand. But you know, you know better than I whether they're clamoring for the rookie to get in already. But I think both, put it this way, both franchises know they are not the far from the cream of the crop. They may have an outside shot at a playoff spot. This is a game they can win. It's an important game from that standpoint, but they're right now light years away from the elite of the AFC.
Yes, there is a segment that is pulling for Pickett to get in right away. I do think a lot of that is Pitt overlap for sure. I also think that there's a segment of the fan base that was going to be against Trubisky regardless because they just didn't like the signing. And obviously it's exacerbated because Pickett went to Pitt and then was drafted in the first round. But like, who are they calling for instead of Mac Jones in New England right now? I mean, is it Zappy? It can't be Hoyer, can it?
No. No, there's nobody on the roster that they're calling for. I would say, you know, it depends who you talk to. There are some Mac skeptics that believe he's just a game manager and he's going to be mediocre at best. But very few people are blaming the current state of the Patriots on Mac. I think he's got some people in his corner that believe he could be at least an above-average quarterback with some upside. He's definitely a hard worker. He's boring as can be. I mean, you know, we have him on every week. I hate to say that, but he just does not have, and it probably is the Patriot way as well. You know,
maybe that's why Belichick likes him so much, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Yeah. Exactly. But you know, he's grinding right now. He is one of their captains on offense, but they have a lot around him that's different from last year. Obviously, the coordinator spot has gotten a lot of conversation, so he's got new play callers, he's got a rookie left guard, and they did not look good in week one. And just in general, I mean, they're coming off a game where they scored 7 points, so I'm a little surprised to see Pittsburgh a 1-point underdog at home in this one. Maybe that's the TJ Watt factor, but this will be a grinder, that's for sure.
Well, the TJ Watt factor is real. I mean, they were 9-7-1 last season, and if you look at the games that they either lost or tied, five of them, Watt didn't play at all or left midway through. And I'd argue the other three, he was still compromised from injury. So I think there's a direct cause and effect. I do get it. I do get why people look at the Patriots coming into this building and just assume that the Patriots will win. Even though I think, well, the last time they came through, the Steelers actually did win. What was one of Brady's last games with the Patriots. But I have a tough time wrangling this game because I can very easily see Belichick, with what talent he does have on defense, confusing Trubisky and just out-coaching Tomlin and drawing something up that his defense gets that the Steelers' offense doesn't understand, and they walk out of here with like a 17-16 win or something like that. I could see that happening.
Yeah, that feels like the score, 17-16, 14-13, something ugly along those lines. It's actually like for the Patriots, if they have any thoughts of a playoff spot, this is a really important game for them. The week one loss is tough. Their back end of their schedule was loaded, including two games with the Bills, so they've got to be, you know, 6-2 or something in their first eight, something along those lines to really have a chance. And I think most people realistically around here don't see it this year. They're a couple years away in their build to try to get some weapons around Mac, and there's lots of drama on top of that, which the Patriots don't normally have. So it is unique times. Belichick has been, you know, strangely like optimistic, you know, saying they're a couple plays away. He said they left it on the practice field once in the preseason. Nobody has heard stuff like this. You know, normally he is like, just by his demeanor, you can tell it's a different kind of year for New England.
Is he talking himself into it?
Yeah, I mean, you wonder whether he's got it in him to catch Shula. I mean, I think that's everybody assumes he's going to be around for 4 or 5 more years just to try to get the wins record. But he doesn't seem like he's a guy that's frustrated to the point of quitting it. Actually, the other way, he's got his kids coaching with him on the staff, and he seems like a guy who's trying to play for the long call here and keep the group together. But they've had some challenges, to be sure. One of them, of course, will be coaching against Brian Flores. We haven't really dipped into that drama yet. I don't know how prolific of a role he's had in Pittsburgh, but another former Patriot coach, as they faced them with Miami in week one, now for week two as well.
Well, we'll find out how great of a linebackers coach he is, if he can take, you know, Malik Reed and Jameer Johnson and turn them into replacements that are adequate for TJ Watt. But I think he's been helpful for Terrell Austin in his first year as coordinator, another guy that Mike Tomlin can bounce stuff off of. Maybe he'll be really important this week in preparation. But, he actually gave me a different answer than I was expecting the Belichick thing. When I said that he was talking himself into it, not even so much continuing, Ken, but even just, is he talking himself into thinking that this team is going to be any good, is more where I was going with it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we've seen years where Belichick's teams have gotten better, and that's the mantra that they are preaching, that, you know, this team, we're not going to find out what they are until week 6, week 7, and they will continually get better. I'm sure there will be some of that, but they just seem so far off right now in terms of talent gap with the rest of the league. And the tough part for them is they've got to make hay early here with their schedule. They get the Jets a couple of times here before the end of October or early November. So this is a swing game for Pittsburgh. I think people around here feel it'll be close. Nobody's there will not be a game on the schedule that this New England team, looks like they're going to blow the doors off anybody. So yeah, I think some of that is Belichick trying to convince his team that they're good and they can get the job done. They weren't a bad offense last year. And most of that group is returning, and they've got Devontae Parker added to it. But, with the new play caller, they just have no identity. They were very vanilla in week one, and nobody's quite sure what approach they're going to take with Matt Patricia calling the plays.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Yeah, it's been it's been months of talk, almost to the point now where people are tired of it. Patricia's calling the plays. Joe Judge, the former Giants coach, is back. He's coaching Mac Jones. they're all collectively coaching the offense together. Belichick's got his hand in it. It's kind of strange. And as you can expect, it's led to some confusion. The offensive line is – they've had breakdowns. The tackles seem disgruntled. Kendrick Bourne's not getting on the field. That's been a big storyline this week. There's reports that Patricia has taken it upon himself to basically bench Bourne for being late to him for a meeting and wanting the ball too much, being too much of a diva. So it sounds like Patricia early on, as he did with Detroit when he coached there, and back to the Malcolm Butler days up here, when he benched him at the Super Bowl, they're trying to get a hold and set a tone, but it cost them big time in week one because they missed Bourne in a bad way. It's not like he's Randy Moss, but he's their best receiver in a lot of facets in terms of separation and game breaker, and he was only on the field for two plays.
Jones, how is he performing, and how is he physically after the Miami game with the back spasms and all that?
Looks like he'll be fine. He took a good shot. You know, he was hit high and low at the same time, part of some of those breakdowns that they had in the first week. So the Steelers, if they could get to him and put a couple licks on him, that could definitely change the game. He has not had any physical ailments in a year. You know, it's only been 1 year. He's been pretty durable. But this is a bit of a different year. I don't want to say he's confused, but in the preseason, they looked real bad. He looked like he was a guy that was panicking back there. So he's a hard worker. I think he looks like he's healthy enough to be out there for this week, and I think he will be. But I could expect him to be conservative with him. They did no four wide receiver sets last week. I don't expect that. I think it'll be a pretty conservative ground game, sort of two tight end offense this week too.
You mentioned it from a New England perspective a few times, and I think it's the same thing from a Pittsburgh perspective too. I think you used the phrase swing game. You're right about that. I can imagine why people are looking at it that way in New England. And honestly, we should here in Pittsburgh too, maybe a little bit more than we are, because I still think the Bengals are going to be better than what they showed in the first game. The Ravens, I think, are going to be a 9-10 win team. I think if the Steelers are to get in the playoffs and somehow survive what's happened with Watt here, as important as he has been to the win-loss cause, they're going to have to get in as a wild card, like maybe the last wild card again, just like they did last year. And a head-to-head win over the Patriots might be more important even than, you know, getting two wins against the Bengals, you know, getting the second one at home after they got this one in Cincinnati, or getting two wins against the Ravens, because I don't think they're going to win the division.
Yeah, it makes sense. And, you know, if the home opener, you never want to blow that. You know, if people there feel they stole it, or they whatever happened, you know, it would have been a bizarre week one, whatever. They came out on top, and maybe they got good news, all things considered, with T.J. Watt. So that plus the Browns' misery, I agree. This is a big game for both teams. I would say, you know, these both look like one-and-done at best teams in the postseason right now. But yeah, who knows? Maybe they strike gold and Trubisky, you know, starts to get hot, and stranger things have happened.
Ken Laird with us. Ken, you mentioned the talent component before, not to channel Dennis Eckersley, and again, thank him for that, the hodgepodge of nothingness there. is that how people are describing the roster right now for the Patriots?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so Belichick has been criticized more for his GM prowess or lack thereof over the last couple of years than anything, and he's had some very questionable drafts, including this year when he took a Tennessee Chattanooga guard in the first rounds, and he's playing right away. So he's a bit overwhelmed. They've got, you know, receivers that are, you know, all twos at best, Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne, you know, Jacoby Myers is a good possession receiver. They've got good running backs. Defense is solid. It's not, you know, they only gave up 13 points to Miami in week one. So they were not an embarrassment, but they just are lacking an elite star corner or a playmaker that they have had in years past. So it's kind of a bland team, and maybe that's what Belichick wants. I mean, he made a statement a couple of years ago that he was going to coach with guys that he likes coaching, and he's going to do it his way for the rest of his time. So, you know, that's one way to look at it. The other way is that the game's passing him by. And, you know, I remember talking to Ed Bouchette about this a few years ago. He compared it to the end of the Chuck Knoll era, where it felt like, you know, I don't know if Ed or others felt that Knoll hung on too long in the 80s, but when the star quarterback left, it was just a massive adjustment that he was never able to put it together after that. And I think that's a lot of what Belichick's dealing with now, too.
Well, Belichick always did fawn about Chuck Knoll, right?
You're probably right. I don't recall hearing him talk about Knoll much, but, you know, I'm sure he respected him, that's for sure.
No, yeah, I remember him talking about Chuck Knoll a lot. Now the comp that you're making makes a lot of sense insofar as, like, I don't even know if the game is passing him by, like he doesn't understand new trends in football schematics. I bet that he does, but the theory that he could just keep doing it the way he was doing it, where he could pick up everybody else's trash and turn it into his treasure, or take guys that were from obscure schools and random spots in the draft, or, you know, have, as Tomlin says, nameless gray faces all pan out at the same time to the point that they can construct a Super Bowl winner with Brady at quarterback. That's not going to happen now, is it?
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, I don't think it's going to happen unless he really is, you know, the greatest coach of all time. He'll probably go down that way. But I think as Brady's gone here and the legacies continue to be shaped, you know, a lot more people on the Brady side than the Belichick side in terms of what really defined the dynasty. So this could hurt his legacy a bit. Obviously, he's, you know, he's going to do pretty well for himself and be a Hall of Famer and all that. But it is interesting to see it unfold without the elite quarterback at his disposal.
Ken, appreciate it. Great catching up with you. How are things going out there?
You as well. Yeah, we're doing well.
And so you're doing weekends, and you're kind of the brand manager out there these days. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Operations manager, so a little bit more behind the scenes, but they let me chime in on the weekends. So it's been great to be a part of two great sports cities, Pittsburgh and Boston, so can't complain about that.
You doing the hockey show still?
I am not doing the hockey show, although the Bruins are back in the discussion a little bit. Actually, you know, I think the last time we talked, we may have been discussing the John Henry purchase of the Penguins, so we'll have a Winter Classic and more to discuss down the
That's
road.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to have to hook up for Fenway. I forgot about that. Sure.
Definitely. So Bruins have maybe one more year in them, and we'll see if the Penguins do as well.
We talked about Henry buying the Penguins. I was just sobering up from the Frozen Four, if I remember correctly. So,
yeah, exactly.
All right. Appreciate it, Ken. We'll talk again soon, all right?
All right, Tim. Yellowknife.
Ken Laird, brand manager and weekend host at WEEI in Boston and founding father of Trib Live Radio.